Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 7. I'm not preaching out of Mark because it's the best book in the Bible or anything like that. The most well-named book in the Bible. Mark, chapter 7. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 down to 23, but I'll spare you from reading all of that. And we'll just read a couple verses here. Just a little background. This is Jesus. He's talking to the Pharisees. And we know how a lot of the interactions that Jesus has with the Pharisees are not good. They typically do something that they think they've got Jesus. They think they have this big idea that they're going to catch Jesus in something that's not right, that goes against the law of God. And Jesus always, he rebukes them and he puts them in their right place that they need to be in. And many of these Jews have come down from Jerusalem to Galilee, which is a couple, I think it's about 100 miles. And they're really just trying to find Jesus in a fault. They're trying to trip Jesus up to say something, or they're trying to find his disciples in a fault. And they think they've got him here in this passage. So if you guys will stand with me, we'll read verse 6 down to verse 8. Verse 9, actually. This is Jesus talking. He said, "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias, the prophet Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." I don't have a title for the message tonight, but we're going to be talking about the hypocrisy that we can have in our hearts if we're not careful to take care of our hearts. The things, we can live a life that's clean on the outside, but we're really full of sin and wicked in our hearts. So I'll go ahead and pray one more time, and then you guys can be seated. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for this passage in your word. And God, I pray that you just use it to speak to your people once again, God. And I pray that you just meet with us here. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing lately that my wife and I have both been having a kick on is history. She's been watching documentaries and reading books and all of this stuff. And she outreads me, which is kind of embarrassing. But I've started reading this book that was about Chernobyl. And the Chernobyl accident was a nuclear reactor that exploded in the country of Ukraine back in the 1960s. And if you know anything about that time period, it's the time period of the Cold War. And the Cold War is this war that is not really a war that's taking place between the USSR and the United States of America. And the thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to come up with the best ways to utilize nuclear fission or nuclear energy and things like that. So one thing that both countries are doing is they're building these big nuclear reactors that can do this process that make the nuclear energy. And if you know anything about the USSR at this point, they're a very poor country. They have little to nothing, really. They're throwing what they can, which is very little, into this program that they're trying to do. They're trying to build these nuclear reactors that look grand. They look really big and grand on the outside, and they look like they're doing well. But on the inside, there's a lot of bad things that are going on the insides of these reactors. I've been reading this book, and it really, this lady does a lot of research into the subject. And she says that the big fault that the USSR had with these nuclear reactors is that while they were building them, they designed them to look great and big and all of these things to make them look nice on the outside. But while they're building them, the parts that they're using cheap parts. They're often using people who don't really know what they're doing in their fields that they're putting them together. They're not trained for what they're doing. They're using cheap parts. The labor is not really what it ought to be. So what they have here is they have this big, great nuclear reactor. But on the inside of this nuclear reactor, there's cheap parts. There's bad wiring probably that's taking place. And we know what happens. That there's an incident that happens in the control room, and they can't fix it because of what they put into this nuclear reactor. and there's an explosion and there's a meltdown. So really what this is about is the USSR was trying to build this nuclear program that had a lot of grandeur, that they wanted it to look good, but all on the inside they have bad parts, and what they're doing is they wanted it to look good on the outside so that the world can see them as this great nation that's in the lead in this nuclear race. But on the inside, there's a lot of bad things taking place. And here in this passage is exactly what Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for. These Pharisees had been following Jesus around, and they're looking for some type of fault in him or his disciples. And in this passage, they're sitting down to eat bread. And one thing that the Pharisees always did is they washed their hands. This is one of the laws that they had before they were to eat. They wash their hands, and they've done this. They're eating, and they see Jesus' disciples, and they're eating as well. But like I said, that they've been watching Jesus' disciples, and they noticed that they hadn't washed their hands. So they found their fault. They were looking for something to blame Jesus and his disciples for, and they found their fault in the fact that Jesus and his disciples did not wash their hands before they ate. And the Bible teaches us that the Pharisees had several different types of laws that they followed. They had the ceremonial law, they had the law of Moses, they had the oral law, and they had their traditions that they all held to. And this is one of their traditions, that they had to wash their hands before they ate. And this was not a sign of holiness, that this was not going to make them right with God, but this was rather something that they did to symbolize that they were different from the outside world around them. And these traditions that the Pharisees were following were not bad things. A lot of us in this room would probably say that I wash my hands before I eat, right? That's something that most of us do, and it's a good thing to cleanse our hands before we eat. But the Pharisees were using this as a way to make themselves holy. They thought that this was making themselves better than the people around them because they washed their hands before they ate. And this was never what God intended this to be for. God did not intend for them to wash their hands so that by washing their hands they could be right with God. That was not the intent. And Jesus and his disciples are called out by the Pharisees because they did not wash their hands before they ate. And then Jesus in turn calls them out for being religious on the outside, but their hearts are so far from God. They thought that washing their hands would somehow cleanse their wicked hearts. They thought that it would somehow make them right with God, but that was not the intent at all that the tradition was for. And Jesus calls them out for being religious on the outside and setting aside the commandments of God for the commandments of men. And Jesus quotes a verse from the prophet Isaiah that speaks about what the Pharisees were doing. He says, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He's saying that everything on the outside looked good, but if I really get down to the root problem that's going on in your heart is you're wicked. You want to look good on the outside, you want to be religious on the outside, but your heart is far from God. Your heart is far from Jesus, the way that God would desire your heart to be. He tells them that they had traded the commandment of God for the commandment of men. A lot of these traditions that they had were made up by the rabbis. And I read some commentaries that told us that the Jews would sometimes even, they would even take the law of the rabbis, the traditions of the rabbis, they would take that and hold it in higher regard than they did the word of God. And we can see in this passage that's true. What's going on here is showing that and Jesus even calls them out for it, that they've placed the commandments of men over the commandments of God. And there's a specific example of a tradition that the Pharisees held to that Jesus calls them out for. The Bible tells us in Exodus 20:12, in the Ten Commandments, the Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the Pharisees are supposed to be the most religious people of the day, right? You think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're the big religious leaders who wear the big religious garb, and they're always in the temple praying and giving their alms. But one thing that they were lacking was they weren't honoring their father and their mother. And Jesus tells them this in this passage. What they were doing is they were taking the money that they were... So what the Bible means by honor thy father and thy mother means when they get old and they can't take care of themselves, because they didn't have insurance in this day, they didn't have Social Security, they didn't have all of these things that were going to take care of their parents. When their parents got old, they were going to have to take care of them. And that's what God expected from them to do. He expected them to take care of their parents in their old age. And what the Pharisees were doing is they had all their money. What the Pharisees were doing is with the money that they were supposed to use to take care of their parents, they were saying that it's a gift. The Bible says, the Bible calls it Corban. Look up here, guys. The Bible says that the Pharisees called it Corban, which means a gift. So what the Pharisees would do is they would take the money that they were supposed to use to take care of their parents, and they would give it to the temple. And what they would say is this is a gift to the temple, and they thought that somehow that relieved them from the problem of the obligation to take care of their parents. So what they're doing is they're trying to make themselves look more religious by giving money to the temple, by giving money to the church, to the work of God. They're trying to give their money to that instead of doing what God told them to do, which is take care of their parents and their mother and their father. And they're thinking that this makes them look very religious. But Jesus says that's not at all what's happening. You set aside the commandment of God for the commandment of men. The Pharisees were trying so hard to live by their traditions to please God. The tradition of giving to the church what you're supposed to use to take care of your parents, the tradition of washing your hands before you eat, they're trying to take these things and make them the commandment of God, but they're not what God said to do. They were too concerned with their outward purity than with the real issue that was at hand. And most of us in this room, we would know that the real issue at hand was their heart problem. It's not that they can wash their hands and get the germs off their hands before they eat. That's not going to fix their heart problem. The giving of their alms to the temple because it makes them look religious is not going to fix the problem that is their heart. And Jesus gives them a lesson on defilement. He gives them a lesson on defilement that they so desperately needed to hear, and we need to hear as well. Jesus tells them that the things that they thought were defiling them were not what was defiling them. The Pharisees thought that eating with dirty hands defiled them. They thought that eating certain meats defiled them. They thought that touching unclean animals defiled them, and they thought that touching dead bodies defiled them. These are just some of the things that God had lined out in His Word that the Jews ought to do, but they were not for the purpose that they would make them holy. They were not for the purpose that they would make them better than other people, that they would somehow make them right with God. Most of them were there just for the purpose to set them apart from the world that they were living in. And Jesus actually says the complete opposite of what they thought. Jesus tells them, He says, "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man." The things that they allowed into their bodies did not defile them. The foods that they ate, if they ate with unwashed hands, that was not going to defile them. But it was rather the things that came out of them that defiled them. The Pharisees were so concerned about their outward appearance that they gave little to no regard to the issue of their heart. Jesus tells them that it is not the unwashed pots that defile you, but the things that come out of you. And Jesus and his disciples, they leave the scene, and Jesus gives them another private lesson. He says, do you not understand also? The things that the Pharisees are doing, they're not keeping themselves from being defiled because they have wicked hearts. Jesus was not so much concerned with washing your hands before you eat. Jesus was not so much concerned with giving your alms and your offerings to the temple, but Jesus was so much more concerned about the issue of the heart of his disciples. And Jesus desires that his disciples have clean hearts. That's what he teaches them here in this lesson that he gives to them. And two of the key verses in this passage would be verse 6 and verse 21. He says, "Well, hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He says they're doing all the right things on the outside, but it doesn't matter to me because their heart is very far from what I wanted it to be. And then verse 21, it says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts," and all the list of other sins. That it's not necessarily what you're doing on the outside, but most sin starts in the heart. We know from what Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount that a lot of the issues of man come from the heart. And they start in the heart and they manifest themselves in physical ways. But if we never let it get to our heart, then there would be no physical manifestation of the desires of our hearts. It seems that the big issue of the sins of man lies in the heart of man. The issue is our heart. And a lot of times we think that the physical action of doing something is the sin. And what I mean by that is, you take, for example, a man sees a woman and he lusts after her and he has relations with her. The part that is the actual sin is the lust that was in his heart. And that lust manifests itself in that relation that they're not supposed to have. But it all started in the man's heart. I think so many times, and even myself included, I'm preaching this to myself, that we think we're okay if we don't do the physical act. If we don't go ahead and take part in the sin in the physical way. You think of the two examples that Jesus gives on the Sermon on the Mount. You have the case of the man who is angry with his brother for no reason. Jesus doesn't say, because you've murdered your brother, you're a sinner. Jesus says, because you have anger in your heart, you've committed murder already, even though you haven't killed him yet. The sin has still been done, even though the physical manifestation of the heart issue hasn't taken place yet. And you think of the other instance that Jesus talks about. If a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery in his heart already. The sin isn't necessarily, well, the sin is that he has committed adultery, but the first part of the sin is that he's lusted after the woman. It doesn't take the physical action for it to become a sin. It takes the thought in your heart and you let it marinate there and you let it develop there, and then that's when it becomes the physical manifestation. But it all starts in the heart. All of these things, there's a lot of things that Jesus mentions here. Anger, lust, covetousness, evil thoughts, blasphemies, all of these things can take place in our heart. And many times we don't act upon these things. We don't act upon our lust. We don't act upon our covetousness. We don't act upon the evil thoughts that we have. And we think we're okay. But having these things in our lives, lust and covetousness and evil thoughts, just because it's in our heart, doesn't mean that it's not a sin. That's where it all starts. We have to root that problem out at the root. We have to pull that weed out at the root. One thing that I had growing up, well, my dad had this. We had a garden. And one chore that my brother and I had to do, we had to pick the weeds out of the garden. And I hated this chore because it was always in the summer in Indiana. And if you know anything about Indiana, it's hot there and it's very humid. And I don't like being outside in the summer in Indiana, if I'm being honest with you. I like it here much better, where it's mild most of the time. But one thing that my dad wanted us to do is he wanted us to pick the roots or the weeds out. And I didn't like doing that. And I always thought that it was a better idea that my dad just till the garden up and get the weeds out of the way where you can't see them, and then magically they're not there anymore. But what you have to do to get rid of weeds is you have to pull it out at the root. You can't just till it up and move it around. You can't just pull the top off of the weed, or it's just going to grow right back. And it's the same thing with our sin problem. It all starts in the heart. And if we don't take care of our heart, there's going to be a lot of manifestations of sin in our life. And they're all going to start in our heart. And they're going to eventually, they're just going to set in, and they're eventually going to make their way into a problem that other people could see. A lot of people don't see our hearts, but if we were all being honest, there's a lot of things that go on in our hearts that we wouldn't want other people to see. We wouldn't want other people to know about the things that go on in our hearts. So that's why we must take care of the issue that is our heart, so that we don't make a mess of our lives, so that we don't end up living a sinful lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. To get rid of that weed, you have to pull it out at the root. So to get rid of our sin problem, which we can't completely rid ourselves of our sin problem, but we can try our best, and we can do whatever we can to fix our heart problem. We can have a growing relationship with Christ. We can read our Bible. We can have God speak to us. We can pray and give our desires to God. And eventually, our heart problem will never be completely fixed, but God will be working in us to begin fixing it. So what is the solution to our wicked, sinful heart? It seems to me that the solution to our sin problem is to have a growing and thriving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we must know Him intimately and be close with Him. They say that, show me who your friends are and I'll know who you are. If we're as close to Christ as we can possibly be, we're going to be very much like Him. I know in Bible college, when I had friends that I knew I wasn't supposed to have, I was just like those friends. And there were not very many friends that I would... There's probably like one or two that I would actually say I'm proud to be friends with while I was in school. But I was a lot like them. I was a lot like the bad influence friends that I shouldn't have had, but that's because I was always around them. If you're always around Christ, you'll end up being like Christ. We cannot completely rid ourselves of our sinful hearts, but we can allow the Spirit of God inside of us to have more influence on us. You think of that old Native American proverb of this boy who's talking to his grandfather, and he says, "Grandfather, there's a war going on inside of me, and there's one wolf living inside of me, and this wolf is evil, and there's another wolf that's living inside of me that's a good wolf, and he's telling me to do all of these good things." And the boy questions his grandfather. He says, "Who wins?" And his grandfather says, "Well, the one that's going to win is the one that you feed." You think if you have two dogs and you're going to have them dogfight, if one's over here starving and this other one's over here living off of steaks and he's thriving, if you put them in a cage together and let them fight, the one that's been eating the steaks and all the good puppy chow and all of these things, he's going to win. If you apply that to your spiritual life, you have the flesh living inside of you and you have the spirit living inside of you. Thank you. I've needed that since the song service. If you apply that to your spiritual life, you have the spirit that's living inside of you, and you have your flesh. This old carnality that we live with every day. If you're neglecting your Bible reading, if you're neglecting prayer time, if you're neglecting all of the things that God requests of us and expects us to do, no wonder your flesh is living in victory in your life. But if you're spending time in the Word of God and you're praying and trying to have real communion with Christ, the spiritual side of you is going to manifest itself outwardly. And we're going to live a holy life. And our heart's not going to have so much influence on us, but rather the Spirit of God will have so much more influence on us if we feed the Spirit of God that is inside of us. And one thing that the Pharisees were trying to do is they were trying to skip their heart problem and be right on the outside. But rather, if our heart is right, if what we're doing on the inside is right, if God is taking care of our hearts, if we're allowing Him to change us in that way, then the outside is going to be all right. On the outside, we're going to be doing the things that God expects us to do because there's been a real change on the inside. And one thing Brother Plumley mentioned, I actually preached this message last Wednesday. I was planning on preaching it here, but he asked me to preach. But he said one way to tell if your heart is right before God is what's coming out of you, what you're saying. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how do we relate that to this? If you want to know if your heart's right, just listen to what you're saying. Is what's coming out of your mouth in line with what the Word of God teaches? And that'll tell you for sure if what you're doing on the inside, if how you're taking care of your heart is the way God would have you to do. If there's Spirit-filled things that are coming out of your mouth all the time, if Spirit-filled things are manifesting themselves in your... I know I'm using that word a lot. I can't think of another word. If you're doing spiritual things on the outside, it may be because that there's God's working on your heart and God is changing your heart to be more like Him. But if all you're doing is living a wicked, sinful life and the things that are coming out of your mouth are not Spirit-filled, then that's a telltale sign that there's something going on in here that God needs to change. And we go back to the story at the beginning. The Soviets could have really saved themselves a lot of trouble if they had just put in the right kind of work to the inside of that reactor. There would have been no explosion. There would have been no meltdown if they had just put in the correct effort. If we put in the right kind of effort into our spiritual life to fix our heart problem, then we can get on track to living the life that God intends for us to live. A life that is clean before Him on the inside and on the outside. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the day, Lord. We're thankful for Your Word. And God, I pray that You just use Your Word here tonight, God, that You just speak to Your people. And Lord, help us make change where change is necessary. And Lord, that we'd have clean hearts before You. And Lord, that we wouldn't be hypocrites, Lord, that we wouldn't just try to live clean on the outside, but Lord, that our heart would be right before You. And Lord, that we'd be in a position that You could use us. In Jesus' name, amen.